your host. Wealth, as always, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metal broker dealer depository service. We've been doing business for over decades. We are constantly actively involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of precious metals. Obviously, that's primarily gold and silver. But we have bought, palladium or precious metals, with rhodium, zinc, we've had literally bulbs of zinc, bars of gold, bars and bags of copper, all that stuff. But that's not an area of specialty. Precious metal rare coins is our thing. I personally absolutely love coins. I've loved them for a long time. Just love them. American rare coin of numismatics is the best investment sector existence. It has outperformed every other investment sector, from real estate to all kinds of stocks, even in bull markets. The numismatic coin market. It is the longest running bull market in world history. They've basically gone up, consistently for literally like ever. But especially since the 40s. I mean, just nonstop growth. And the nice thing about them is when you buy them and they go, if they have a correction, which is usually a correction in numismatic coins is different than a correction in gold, because what happens is in numismatic coins is they will start to trade way over their value. In other words, we use what's called like the gray sheet. That's the deal wholesale, dealer to dealer wholesale gray sheet has been the name of it for its long time ago. It was a gray sheet, looked like a big 14-page dictionary. And since then, of course, they've come out with a nice magazine quality and everything, but it's still called the gray sheet. But what happens when numismatic coins go crazy is they trade way over gray sheet. And when they correct, they come back down to gray sheet. So gray continues up. It's a nice steady line. PCGS, Personal Coin Grading Service, which is, one of the top grading services between them and Numismatic Guarantee Corp, NEC, by the way. If you are buying coins as an investment, and you're not just buying bullion or stuff for its gold content, you want to buy, for the most part, certified coins, CGS and NGC. It makes it what we call sight unseen trails. So you could call, back in the day, back in the 90s or something, when it was kind of vest pocket guy before I went into this literally for NV6. You call anywhere in the U.S. with certified coins and get quotes. That's the nice thing certified coins will give you. However, if you're building different kinds of sets and coins or, $50 or $100 or $70 or whatever, You can't really afford to certify them. It's very, very expensive. You're basically looking at anywhere from 35 on up. I mean, they have some coins. If you certify a very expensive coin, it's hundreds of dollars. Plus, you got to pay shipping and insurance both ways, and is in wait around months to get coins. That's the big problem with PCGS is, frankly, their service is terrible. It's worse than the government, their attitude and their service. Numismatic Guarantee Corporation is the preferred grading service for the American Numismatic Association, which is sort of the watchdog group, I guess, club organization for numismatics. They've been in existence for well century. Great organization. Really, they're the ones that provide all the schooling and training and seminars, and we've been fully certified in basically every single form, for the most part, of especially coin counterfeit detection, coin and currency degrading, I say. And when I went through, years back, I scored the highest on the advanced coin grading is the highest class they teach. I scored the highest that Ben scored. I got 162 out of 260, and they had a couple extra credit things. And so, just so you know, when you bring coin, we know what we're looking at. And a lot of people bring in rare coins, metal coins, to try to decide if they should be graded or certified. People go online. These coins are certified. What is certified, for those of you who don't know, and maybe don't care, it's when you send your coin, and this does not apply to every coin. I mean, there's PC stuff online for, you know, crazy, and they don't understand that they have is not even remotely related, and they'll send in their junk in, and pay big money and end up with a bunch of junk. In other words, low grade garbage. I had a guy come years back, $13,500 silver dollar inherited. They were all, circulated. some were nice, very AU, which means most uncirculated. But a lot of common day dollars, and say at the time they were worth, from 20 to 30 bucks. Maybe there was a few $40 coins in there. Well, he sent the entire batch. he could not be persuaded. He the entire batch in and paid $18 a coin. We negotiated plus shipping and insurance both ways. So probably 20 buck coin. Well, they came back, graded, what we told them, circuited and grades, and also a lot of them came back with detrimental comments, cleaned and scratched. They it was of dollars. It was not meant graded. He ended up spending, two-thirds of the value of his bags of dollars on gradings. So it's not for every coin, for sure, but it is that if you're getting a solid quality Matics, it's something that is definitely that we sell. There's other, there are alternatives. I mean, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but recently had a client that invested, and I had hoarded up. They have what's called odd type coins. Okay, they made. Throughout the history of the U.S., we've had things like half cents, half dimes. Before the nickel, we made half dimes. The very first U.S. coin ever made was called a Disme, D-I-S-M-E, was where we get the term dime. Dis means 10, so it was a half a 10. Teeny little silver coin. The very first U.S. coin ever mint was a 1792 half Disme. And they're ugly. They're crude. They're as rude looking as you can imagine. And George Washington, Jefferson, and Franklin, and a number of others of our founding heroes got together, had an English coin engraver, very unartistic, obviously. The Liberty on the front looks like a lady who's seen a ghost, and her hair looks like the wind's blowing it back. It's just a terrible, terrible, terrible look. But how the very first U.S. coin, which, by the way, as a nation, the creation of your own coinage is a sign. It's like the Declaration of Independence. It's a sign of sovereignty, and an offense to British. It was it was the creation of, a nation. I mean, we had to have our own money. We had prior to that all kinds of circulating from all over the world, and there were all kinds of issues with purity, content, and a lot of countries had done a lot of cheating and using a lot of Spanish. You've heard of the eight reali, pieces of eight, where you'd have a fract of eight realis. Coins of all types, colonial coins, colonies made their own coins with colonial currency, was paper money from the colonies. That's one of my favorite neatest things. I mean, it's so cool, it'll be like, six and a half shings, and it's a little piece of paper money that's been blocked and use a leaf authenticated because it has a fingerprint just like you or I that's unique. Well, the British figured out how to counterfeit stuff, and they did everything they could to bankrupt America, and they did. And that's where Jefferson said it was a terrible provincial event, and they were writing at the time. This is, in my opinion, a total providential God-involved event. They were writing the Constitution or working on the verbiage of it at the time that colonial currency basically went obsolete or defunct. Our colonies went bankrupt. The United States, if you want to call them that, the 13 colonies bankrupt. And people don't realize that. And it was God saying, look, gold or silver, period. Paper money, no. He knows that people can manipulate paper money. The original paper money that started in America, people just do not understand the history of it all. That the way it started was that paper money was a certificate of deposit of gold or silver. That's why we could call them gold notes or silver certificates now, but were notes back then. And you'd go to the bank, give them a $20 gold piece, and they give you a $20 gold note. And these went all the way up, you know, a $1,000 gold note. And you cannot even fathom the absolute magnitude of a $1,000 bill back then. And unbelievable what you could buy. I mean, in a ranch, you know. And, around the turn of the century, before the Federal Reserve Act, acreage would literally go for a few bucks an acre, you know. And it got to the point where $20 gold piece had by 2 acre and and whatnot, not. But you know, when people say, "Well, gold holds its value," what you could buy a hundreds ago, you can buy. They often say, "Well, you know, you could buy a suit and a tie and shoes," and they go through this whole series of items you could buy, and that you could buy today with that a nice suit, of course, because you know gold's 400 and change. Ounce, gold coins traded a premium because you know there's strike costs and small margins of profit for his people, but the truth is gold today has been suppressed, and silver has been suppressed so that your actual buying power is not equivalent to what it was for over 1,000 years, which is good news. For the buyer and the owner, maybe not the seller, but in general, and the seller doing okay. I was looking back at, you know, we have had, you know, we're always dealing with customers that bought 2, 4, 5, whatever years ago. And I was looking at, you know, gold went all the way to 1900 and came all the way down to almost $1,100 an ounce. We're now in the mid 1400s, so we have a $300 gain, $325 from the bottom, you know, over 3 years. That's, you know, that's 10 a year. I mean, people are like, I think a lot of got spoiled when the market was just rallying and roaring. Frankly, folks, I see this coming again. For quite a while, I was sort of like, well, I don't know when, I don't know how, but you know what? Economically, financially, it's got to happen. Real estate is absolutely bonkers. Those of you who don't know, Spain is on fire. Coeur d'Alene's even worse or better. This is the perspective. Amazon's coming into Spokane. They said they're providing 1,600 jobs. Now say they're providing 3,000 jobs to Spokane, which is a very good thing. However, the jobs that they're providing, it's not like a Boeing, but they're still doing, you know, the 16 to 18 an hour stuff, is my understanding. And of course, they're going to have exec and everything else. They're building their own airstrip. They have their own plane. They, you know, have their own trucking center, which is beyond ridiculous if you see the size of it. Of course, they've negotiated incredible rates with FedEx. Amazon currently controls 50% of online transactions, financial transactions, basically, which is astounding. So that's it. Every one of you guys are going to Amazon to buy stuff. There's a guy here in town named Josh Nesbitt who, when he was getting his MBA at Gonzaga, his project, he created a company called eTales, which was essentially a model that would help to accelerate brand awareness and sell product for companies. So they provided a service that's if you think about it, that's an awesome service. If you've a company and you have a product and you want to subcontract the sale of it, they did that. They were in the 10%, I think they said, maybe even up 10, and I can't remember which it is, of Amazon sellers. He was 29 years old. I've met him. He sold his business for, if it was 100, they were getting 100 million, then 80, then say 5, and 70 million. And my understanding is that he took, it was 70 million, but 37.5 million of it was in 500 or 5.11 million share stock or something like that. It was bought by a company called Transworld, and my understanding is that the Transworld has basically tanked that section of the business. Very likely, well, according to Josh, due to up-and-coming competition. The biggest problem is when you have successful, blissful business, tend to copy you. And you know, especially in this technology era. People, one thing I absolutely do not like is imitation is the best form of compliment. We went through a series of events. We still pay for it today. Those of you listeners out in Idaho are probably familiar with when this guy named Kevin Mitchell had a company called Coin Nuts. Well, when he came, there's a long story there. This guy named Bob Merton, Northwest Coin Exchange. He ended up going to prison, 47 counts of, you name it, everything from drugs to guns to, and we knew he was in business doing that. In fact, the Business Bureau was always trying me to join, and I'm like, you guys, I'm not interested. Yeah, you support people that are criminals, essentially, and they're like, we don't. I'm like, yes, you do, and I used him as an example. He'd done prison time a number of times. Ross Hansen at Northwest Territory, two major prison stints, and he had the big Better Business Bureau sign in on his business. So anyway, this Kevin Mitchell spent much time in our shop before he absconded with a bunch of material he'd had consigned to him from Northwest Coin Exchange, from Bob Merton's when Bob went to prison, that gave him, it's just a long story, it wasn't pretty. But Kevin Mitchell, as those of you out there know, people for millions of dollars, this company, Coin Nuts. So, Coin Nuts. It's just a nutty name is the, But the bottom line is copied our logo, copied our ads. I had to get legally, I had to flex some legal muscle to get phone book and stuff to back off. And their argument was, well, it was across state lines, and he was copying our ads verbatim, other than changing the logo Coins Plus to Coin Nuts, same color, same look. And his name was Kevin, and I ran to a number of people when we lived out in Idaho that I was him, and it was very disturbing. I also ran into that at major national trade show, and those people I know of that I was able to explain and defend myself. He finally, after years, was convicted on a massive suit. They never got criminally for $1 million in bad checks, millions of dollars in undelivered product, and apparently Coeur d'Alene had passed a law back, I think, in the 70s, a big corporation gotten bad checks from a company, Coeur d'Alene. The big corporation came in, flexed its muscles, seize the company, or business, or whatever it was, et cetera, and so on. Everybody felt sorry for him, so they passed a law that when corporations in Plain, Idaho bounce checks, no matter the size, it's never criminal. And he had figured that out and took people a ride. Well, he, you know, had a tremendous effect on our reputation. At one point, I had a fold full of copies of his bounce check. I ended up finally disposing of. But he had, you know, he really took a sting to our business. And so as a buyer out there, you just got to be careful and aware. You really need to pick someone you trust, pick someone you know, and stick with them. We want you know, the open, that's us. You know, we've worked hard for decades to be honest and above board. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to worry. We take care of everything for you, look out for you. We sell you the best product for the time. We have severely wholesale prices to the public. We don't have retail guidelines like a lot of the commission-based companies are. So many out there. People taken to the cleaner so many times. And we want to be proficient professionals that glorify God in our work. And that is truly our desire. So quick plug for Coins Plug, but I'm telling you, as the owner, obviously I'm biased, but I put my soul, strength, and spirit into the business. My standards are very high. I tell my guys, you always do the right thing no matter the cost. Here's on commission. They have no financial incentive whatsoever to increase profits on a problem. And when we, I believe, have a pretty strong handle on the market, and we will build you a very wonderful portfolios. I was a minute ago talking about a guy who, you know, did a sizable investment portfolio, and there was odd type coins, half cents, 2 cents, 3 cents pieces. I was talking about the half Disney. I'll tell you about that real quick and move on. You know, I just sold a guy hand selected 350 about 3 cent goals from 1865 through 1881. They made them mini coins. They've gone, you know, from $2 a piece when I got into the business to, you know, $14-$15. They're worth more your grade, but these are nice middle grade coins. You know, you think about a return like that over 20 plus years when $2 turns to $14. Start to multiply that out and it works out. Those are coins you would never ever get graded, but they are a good investment. That's just a small piece of this guy's large portfolio. I would never sell all your money in that. Although, you know, they'll perform very well. So we balance. But the bottom when I was talking about the half is that was the nation of the half dime, which became the 5 cent nickel, and so on and so forth. The Disney that was created, 1792, was created by George Washington and at home in Mount Vernon. A number of our beloved fathers were present and involved. And like I said, the design is not attractive, but they gave it their best shot. And they coined their first coinage as a sign of independence from Great Britain. They actually melted Martha Washington's sterling silk, a very large quantity of it. George Washington, very wealthy. I don't know if you've Mount Vernon. He had over 1,000 acres where every square foot of it was designed to create a profit. He was a businessman, very, very talented, wonderful businessman. He was also a phenomenal general after he'd won impossible wars with God by him. I mean the story of George Washington's incredible. The two top snipes in existence were Native Americans. In one battle, they shot him 45 times. Were unable to kill him. Finally, their spotter, leader, says, stop. The white spirit does not want him to die. George Cornwallis, who was his arch rival in the British Army, you know, he was a general, actually, by our standards, chased him for 2 states. George Washington got his people back, got a small group of 300 and some back together, came back in the middle of winter, came across the Delaware, one of the only years it froze over. The boats were, you know, dropping cannon. Guys had hypothermia. It was a terrible, terrible day. Unbelievable, terrible. And had the Hessians, maybe. They were German, what do you call them, mercenaries. Which, by the way, we have laws in the Constitution where we can have mercenaries, and we don't, we should. Because it'd keep us out of a lot of law. But anyway, so they show up at the time, and I think it was New Jersey or something like that, and very cold, just terrible cold. The men were just, it was terrible, and it was Christmas Day. There were 9,000 Hessians, and they had all retreated for the only time ever. Into all the homes. So when they came upon the town, there was no one present to guard the town. You got to remember, this is they'd hired 9,000 mercenaries in addition to the army to protect the area. And George Washington, his small group of men were, you know, in tough shape, to put it lightly, were able to recapture this entire area. Actually, building the momentum that led to us winning the American Revolution and becoming a nation. George Washington was a very, very godly man. After all this, he was a nominal general, obviously. They wanted to make him king. He said, king? No way. No way. That is exactly what we're fighting against. Well, men in general, you know, how many men deny that power? But George Washington had an ideal in mind. Not only did he have an ideal, he had God's ideal. The country was built, and blood was shed on this ideal. And I mean, blood was shed. 85% of the signers of the Declaration of Independence died heinous, bloody, bitter, terrible, torturous, rough deaths, as did their families. It was a huge sacrifice. So that's, you know, kind of that. But the point of the Disney, sorry to bounce around there on you, you know, they have gone through the roof because people collect early Americana. When I had one of my collection in the 90s, I paid $10,300 for it in AU-53. That coin tin is probably worth $550,000. I sold it back in the 2000. I built my building. I sold off a portion of my collection to the commercial realtor who helped me purchase the property and get moving. And in the, you know, 5 or 8 of what I sold him has done just phenomenally, incredibly well. And, you know, so that worked out very well for him. We built a beautiful facility. If you haven't been here, you might want to, you can look at it online, our websites. Our website's kind of been in limbo as we waited for, and you've heard that for too long. I won't tell you that, the whole story. But anyway, you know, you can see our facility online, or you can type in Queens Plus and just look at the facility. It's a beautiful, solid brick building, tower, 80 foot high, that you can actually go into and stand up in the top. It's just a very special place, extremely high quality interior, well designed, kind of like a fort. People don't realize it, but when you're down on the main floor, 270 degrees of deck above you, and rooms and things that watch. And we design the building in a special way so it can't really be held up. You know, we've got bullet and bomb resistant carbonate. It's all over Kevlar, concrete, steel, and various corridors, and things are cordoned off in different sections. And we offer the highest rated privately held depository service, at least in what I call Northwest region, probably top 10 in the nation as far as facility go. Well, industry specific facilities, yeah, probably in top 5, absolutely. Just, but that's not all. It's the whole attitude of procedures that follow, and the sincerity that we approach you with. Bring us your money, It's very, very serious. I don't care if you got $300, $1,000, $30,000, or $300,000. We don't discriminate. We, as the Bible says, show no partiality. We respect every dollar you own and have earned, or you know, whatever situation may be. So, with everything on with the bubble, a lot of financial reading, and in the big fear right now of a major guru, they know there's a correction coming. And I've read everything from 10% to 20%. Well, 10%, you know, irrelevant, sort of. But it's significant. But 10% or 50% because of margin calls. This market is absolutely propped up, pumped up, full of margin conch, which means if you have $100,000 stock, depending on what you want to buy, they'll let you leverage or borrow against your portfolio 50 to 70% to buy stock. So if you have $100,000, you can buy, if you want to buy bonds and conservative stuff, you can spend another $70,000. They then charge you interest. But if those items, whatever it may be, begin to decline, they have what's called a margin call. Boom. Instantly sells. You have no control over it, and you obviously will take a loss. It's a guaranteed. But then what happens is people hold all kinds of equities, bonds, and whatnot. As margin calls come, it's dropping. So margin call is driven by the dropping of value of an investment vehicle, whether, like I said, whether it be an equity, a mutual fund, bond fund, and whatever it may be. Once that starts to drop up and the margin calls kick in, then it's it further. And that starts to affect people's primary investment portfolios. And then you start to see an unloading. And you'll see a landslide, a financial landslide. That's what drives that. We saw that happen, believe it or not, in real estate back in 2009, primarily 2009, right when Obama was getting into office. You know, opportune, perfect time, coincidental, correct, right? But anyway. And we saw anything secured by real estate crazy because it started to call total garbage paper. A+, people, you know, were banks that were supposed to be regulating, controlling what was in these, they call them mortgage blocks or large portfolios. Mortgage block is $500 million in mortgages. They started to put really garbage paper in this stuff and overrate. So people, you know, were coming in with heavy money, and we know what happened there. Of course, our government came and bailed everybody out, which is not what the government's purpose is. But the Reserve has taken over as far as our financial controller almost, to the point where this nation is literally hanging by a financial thread. So that's doom and gloomy. I know it's negative, but it's very truthful. I have a pretty strong background, finance, economics, and banking, and even the mathematical side of yields and that kind of stuff. And I know it's inevitable. When the market's running, everybody says it's going to stop. I talked to someone this weekend about real estate. It's gone nuts out in Post Falls, Coeur d'Alene. Waterfront property has almost doubled in the last couple of years. I mean, it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. When you see that, you've got to watch yourself. Be so careful. Do not jump into a bubble, which puts you into a position of value searching. You want value, and value lies in precious metals based assets. You have to remember gold and based assets. It's an entire sector, just like real estate. I mean, real estate, you can buy mountain property, you property on a lake, a river, stream. You can buy desert property. You can buy, you know, everything. You know, waterfront, oceanfront, all kinds. So when you say the only things that are biblically attributed as true wealth are gold and silver, okay, that's true. It's not just precious metals. You go gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human, precious stones. Well, livestock is everything. I mean, it can be everything from you know, chickens and cows and so forth, and you name it, turkeys, you know, everything. So you go gold and silver, livestock, real estate. Well, real estate I just discussed can be anything within that sector. Precious metals, you know, are obviously a sector. Precious stones and human life. Human life, humans are the only things that can create. God's only creation that can create wealth is the human race. And so when you say human life, if a financial asset, what you're really saying is the utilization of humanity to create an income, which is what a business does. Pathetically, you know, they buy a product, but it's the people they need to do that. So, you know, that's the argument. Buying stocks while you're buying a company that produces something and so on and so forth. But the problem with the stock share is the very last person to get paid, period, line. Everybody else gets money first. Every vendor, you know, every piece of overhead. And then, you know, the yields have just gotten crazy. You'll see growth in the stock, but people used to box as a conservative fraction of their investments just to gain dividends of a few percent. We've got the price index, which is supposed to be the indicator of interest rates. And it's official now. Clinton really did enough to it. He removed the vast majority of food, transportation, real estate, energy costs so that you don't, what you spend 85% of your disposable income on is hypothetically not covered in the consumer price index. So they'll come with rates like 1.6 or 1.8% inflation, and everybody that knows anything economics knows real inflation is 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, it depends on who you do and what their theory is. There's a website called Shadow Stats, which brings you closer to reality, but not necessarily all the way. They do a lot more realistic job. Unemployment figures under Trump have been the best, I think, in an extremely long time. But, you know, the jobs being created now are they're barely sustaining. So you get these radical left-wing socialists that want a leading wage, a minimum wage guarantee. Not really highly realistic because it has an impact on certain businesses, a lot less on others. And I love Bernie Sanders. He demands this. Absolutely demands it. But does he pay his people $11 an hour? He demands a $15 an hour minimum wage, and he pays his $11 an hour. They want free college, free education, free everything. And it's just not really likely. So the era that we're in now, what I really wanted to touch is social. Okay. So, you think socialism was created by Karl Marx. I don't have the exact date in front of me. Let me see if I can find that just out of curiosity. let's see. It was an idealistic theory. Let's see here. Socialism. Do a quick check. Okey-doke. 1848. You know, so, a number, 50, 60 years after founding fathers. Okay, so you think, well, our founding fathers knew nothing of socialism. They see it coming. They had no clue. That, my friends, is not the case at all. I went to the Democratic website and I got linked to a website on democratic socialism. I hope I have time to cover that today. Real quickly, I love quotes from our founders because I admire them. I respect them. I believe they were brilliant. I think they knew what this country was about, what it was supposed to become, what their future hope was. Everybody's heard the various translation of Ben Franklin's comment to the lady where she said doctor or sir. what form of government give us. And he went on to say, a Republican, if you can keep, ma'am, if you're able to keep it. And, you know, years back in the 80s when I heard that, what does that even mean? Now I understand, because socialism is such a terrible threat to any society. And so we have, let's see here, let's try to get into the end of the year and see if we can. Wow, that's an interesting, I love computers, don't you? They're so, I may be frozen out of mine in here. Oh, lovely. Wow, we had an automatic reboot. Loving it. Okay, so let me see what I can dig up here real quick. So we got, I wanted these quotes from the founding fathers here. I know Adam. I've got a slew of information. Okay, here we go. I got lucky. I was able to dig it up elsewhere. Okay, founding fathers quotes on distribution of wealth. So hey, this isn't a new idea. This has gone on for humans. We have got nature. It's called greed. That's a dirty name for it. You've got Paine that wrote, what was it? Something sense, common sense or something about capitalism and how it's hypothetically to work. Well, here's some quotes from our founding fathers on the redistribution of wealth. Thomas Jefferson, he says, quote, to take from one, because it is thought his own street and that of his fathers has acquired too much. You ever heard the 1%ers? He goes on. In order to spare to others whose fathers have not exercised equal industry and skill, is to violate arbitrarily the first principle of association. The guarantee to everyone the free exercise of his industry and the fruits acquired by it. Thomas Jefferson, letter to Joseph Milligan, 1816. One from him. A wise government shall restrain men from injuring or impeding upon one another. They shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor bread it has earned. This is some of a good government. Thomas Jefferson, first inaugural address, March 4th, 1801. And capitalism was important to him. He knew that the Constitution forbade a direct taxation, tax. Absolutely considered to be a heinous form of slavery and theft. And by the way, so many people badmouth our founder. Thomas Jefferson, 32,000-acre ranch, tons of slaves. However, he made a black woman. When he passed, he left all his assets to his slaves, treated them like kings, okay? He bought them not just to own them as human, but to care for them and tend to them and treat them with respect and honor and dignity, because he considered them humanity just like you or I. So if, you know, we only hear the terrible slave owner stories. The same happened with Martha Washington. When she passed, George passed, then when she passed, left all of her ranch and her assets to her slaves. Okay? That tells you so much. That tells you so much of respect and love for his people. So when you hear this racism stuff, tear down their statue, they were racists or they were slaves. So what? A lot of these people buying these slaves, you know, out of bondage and bringing them into an extraordinarily healthy lifestyle and environment, protecting and carrying them in a tremendous fashion. You have to remember, though, you know, a good life back then wasn't, you know, an 8,000 square foot house or a 5,000 square foot house. I mean, people existed. The most wealthy, you know, George Washington's home, where I've been, you know, it's decent, but it's not it's not over the top like some of the English, you know, parliamentary things like that. But, you know, they give him a good life. They gave him freedom, which is priceless. You know, it's far, far, far valuable than any material item that you can get. The problem in this nation now is we take it for granted, and especially the millennials. It's a dangerous situation that we've gotten ourselves into. So we go, Thomas Jefferson again. I predict future happiness for Americans if they can prevent the government from wasting the labor of the people under the pretense of taking care of them. Think about that for a minute, folks. Is that not the Democratic Party, a.k.a. Democratic Socialist? He says, I predict future happiness for Americans if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people, the pretense of taking care of them. Is that not what they do? They do. They want more tax, more money, all of it. Give it to us. Give it to us. The more people that aren't paying taxes. Yeah, we love it. We love it. We want handouts. All they got is promise you. If you're struggling and life's tough, and trust me, many people have a tough life. Have a tough life if in one way or another. And they promise you anything. They promise their constituents anything, and they vote for it. Even though they, their parents, grandparents have heard all before, and it never comes to fruition. Why do we keep suckering for the same thing? It's all malarkey. And then the conservatives come in and say, it's not the way it works. We want to provide jobs. And the liberals come back and say, well, what about these people that can't produce, don't have skills? You know, we need to educate them. Fine, educate them. Figure out a way. There's all kinds of ways. But you also got to give people opportunity. You know, not everybody's going to excel at the same level. Well, not everybody has the same talents and skills. And the measure of success is not financial. They basically use zero sum theory that says a fixed amount of wealth on the earth, and if anybody has a large portion of it, that means they've stolen it from you. No, the zero sum theory is a lie. In America, we start out with 13. We start nothing, and we have 1 to 13 colonies, and eventually America spread out from the East Coast to the West Coast. Where did all that money come from? It came from man's ability to create. God-given gift, right? And so we create wealth. Continues because we have workability and knowledge and intellect and intellectual property. And we create things. So do not buy into the rich guy took it from you to get. No, the rich guy just found a way to get it. And if you want it, you can too, probably within reason. I mean, materialism is not a good way to go. It doesn't please God. We want to live in the spirit and trust God to give us what he thinks we can handle. He says, if you're faithful with little, he'll give you much. But when you get much, he says, much is required. People don't realize that. That's why you get this nouveau riche thing where you get, like I was talking about the E-Tails deal. The guy, he Josh Nesbitt is the president of it, got it going, you know, and it's got a lot of good city. But recently, my understanding is the stock collapsed. And he's, back to square one. And that I've heard. I haven't verified it thoroughly, but I've heard it from pretty strong sources. Some other financial activities in his life I've seen that would justify exactly what I'm being told. Congress, Thomas Jefferson says, has not unlimited powers to provide for the general welfare, but only those specifically enumerated. Well, Chris now tries to provide for everyone's general welfare. You get socialists in there, and what do you get? You get it. Get people that want to take from them the rich, call it, and give to the poor. John Adams, the moment the idea is admitted into society, that property is not as sacred as the laws of God. Now think of that. The moment the idea is admitted into society, property, money, wealth, whatever you want to call it, is not as sacred as the laws of God, and that there is not a force of law and public justice to protect, and anarchy and tyranny commence. What have we seen? What Antifa, cops backing down. You know, I've seen. I was watching way too many videos this weekend. Both ends of the spectrum. I mean, cops just getting, out of line, brutal, abuse. abusing their authority terribly. It's happening all over the place. They're starting to capture it. On the other hand, you've got these communities led by left-wing liberal socialist Democrat police chiefs and mayors that are tying the hands of cops behind their backs so they can't even stand up against journalists being beat, you know, within inches of their life by these hooded, masked coward. Okay, so he goes on, protect. He's not a force, and that there's not a force of law and public justice to protect it. Anarchy and tyranny commence. He says, if, quote, thou shalt not covet, and quote, thou shalt not steal. Where do those come from? If he says, if thou shalt not covet and thou shalt not steal, were not commandments heaven, they must be made in vile precepts in every society before it can be civilized or made free. Okay, he's saying, you know, basically, if the commandments about coveting and stealing, if they weren't given by God, they still have to be inviolable precepts in every society where it can be civilized. You've got to have the Ten Commandments at the root and the base of a nation for it to succeed permanently. Time. So what do we have? We've got atheism. We've got homosexuality. We've got everything that's an abomination to God being elevated and exalted and projected as our ultimate goal. And these are the people's special rights which we've got to take special care of. And it was Adam who said it takes a moral and religious nation in order to make the republic survive in healthy condition. And there's a lot more quotes here, and I'm a little kind of ticking away on time. It's new. And like I said, I had kind of a weird reboot thing that I lost all the pages I saved. That was different. So I'll just jump around a little bit. Some things you need to know about socialism, I'll just come basic. Outline, you know, Karl Marx created it, like I said, in 1848, and you need to understand socialism is no longer a parlor for academics, okay? It's no longer a theory. It's a political alternative that's being taken very seriously by millennials. And that's what I'm saying is, folks, it is integrated in thinking our youth and soon our middle age. Just like the immorality that crept into the 60s, youth became the 60s business owner, became the 60s parents, became the grandparent. And they affected the morality of this nation. Another key takeaway of socialism is that they don't recognize that much of what they enjoy in life in America, obviously, is the result of capitalism, and it will disappear if socialism to be implemented. They don't understand that. You get police state. You get, you know, people are the ones that give up their rights. We've got all these rights to freedom, and they're begging the government to take it all away. They into the lie that is never proven true. It's in the death of multitudes of people, literally in the hundreds of millions through the 20th century when socialism was implemented. It becomes hard. Tyrannical dictatorship, yep, or oligarchy, as I discussed on a previous show, absolute destruction and devastation of the people because it's contrary to human nature. You can't function. Humans are not made that way. And this is the reality of socialism. It's a pseudo-religion grounded on pseudo-science and enforced by political tyranny. Okay? It's got to be. They have to worship the state. It's a pseudo-science. It's all hypothetical, theoretical, ideal. It doesn't work. It's never worked. And it has to be enforced by political tyranny. And what happens with the elite? They get rich, get poorer. People in socialistic countries become dirt poor, folks. I know I'm preaching to the choir. It's a bummer. Because the bottom line is the people that need to understand this don't hear it, don't understand it, don't think about it. And they're argumentative and debative. You know, they don't understand, you know, that Karl Marx and Bernie Sanders are basically crying the same thing. Bernie Sanders captured the hearts and votes of these millennials with his call for single-payer care, free public college, campaign finance reform, and racial, economic, climate justice. You know, the prime target of Animus was the top 1% in America who own, you know, 4% of the nation's total wealth. That's true. But no, they own as much as the bottom percent. But what Bernie never pointed out was the same top 1% is over 40% of the individual income taxes in this country. Sanders had a ready explanation for how to pay all these fees. Simple. Increase the taxes on the rich and their corporations. In Bernie's world, there's such a thing as free lunch because the bill will be paid by those at the top. Well, guess what? If you tax the 1% at 100%, you wouldn't even have 1% of the money that would be required to accomplish these things that he claims are accomplishable. It's all lies to get votes. So, you know, and the thing I didn't get to today, and I apologize, is this democratic socialism. You know, they have this link I got off the Democratic website, which by mine. What is democratic socialism? It's democratic socialists believe that both the economy and society should be run democratically. And again, I'm running out of time, but I'm going to tell folks, when you hear the word democracy, you better run and hide. It makes profits to the few. It gives everybody the ability to vote away your rights. Take them away. So the 51% votes to take the 49%. And that is not our republic is based on biblical precepts and guidelines, period. God gives us all freedoms. This country is a great place. We need to fight to preserve it. We need to understand what we have, why we have it. And I'm really disappointed right now that I'm out of time because I read some stuff that I wanted to cover and I'm out of time. So I guess I can't do anything about it. Bottom line, 2 seconds left. Give us a review. Google, five star, free silver dollar. Google, bing, you get 2 nice silver dollars. Contact us once you do. We'll verify, we'll get them. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care. God bless you. And we'll be back soon. Bye-bye.